Good morning, and welcome again to this week's broadcast of Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp. I'm in studio with Gene Rapp and Ken Kennedy. And today we have Karis Coker on the phone. And our opening segment, Karis is going to speak on the Magna Carta. Welcome, Karis. How are you today?
Good morning. Glad to be here. Hi. Yes, this year is just a tremendous milestone that cannot be overemphasized. This 2015 marks the 800th anniversary of the Magna Carta. Even that document from 1215 was known throughout the world, even by Martin Luther's time. He referred to it as that magnificent charter of the Englishman. Magna meaning great and carta or charter in the Old Latin. It was written in the legal language of the day, that was Latin, and it is believed that the writing, final writing, was done by Cardinal Stephen Langton. It was the result of the ongoing complaints of the barons who were being called upon the king repeatedly and at a tremendous burden to themselves and those who were under their property to finance his various excursions and wars, etc. Now, King John was the great-grandson of William the Conqueror, and he was one of four sons who had no land, and he was known as John Lackland because he was born after his father, Henry I, had divvied up the land among his brothers. However, he did come to the throne as two brothers died before their father, and then Richard the Lionhearted went off to fight the Third Crusade, and then he died in, I think, 1799, and John I came to the throne. But King John had a very high-minded view of what his options were and what the obligations of his subjects were, and he overburdened them to the point, and contrary to the ancient practice of the English people, to where they ultimately took up arms against him, seized one of his castles, and forced him to negotiate with them and to come to terms. And the result of that was in June of 1715 on a field called Runnymede. Now, they had assembled there several days beforehand and presented him with what were called the Articles of the Barons. And there were 40-some articles in the first drafting, and he set his seal to it in the wax, and then they reworked them some. There, and then ultimately, there were 60-some articles of the barons that were presented to him later, and that would be on, I think, June 19th, and he set his seal to that listing of the articles of the barons and agreed to abide by those. But he was merely marking time, it turns out, and as many of, it seems, of our current legislators, just taking the oath of office is merely a form and a ritual until they can get into their seat. He never gave it a second thought to immediately set about to undo what he had just agreed to. He enlisted the help of Pope Innocent III, I think it was, and ultimately the barons were excommunicated for having put him in such a straitjacket. Stephen Langton, the cardinal who had assisted them in drafting these and the wording and the fine points of the language, he was in exile for a time. And things continued pretty rocky back and forth as they had been before until his death. Then his son, who was in his minority, his advisors felt that in order to secure his right to the throne, that it would be well for them to reissue the Magna Carta with the new king's seal on it, and so it was. And it became established, and his monarchy was then secured. But first of all, going back before the Magna Carta of 1215, William Penn in his writings refers to some ancient pillars of liberty that were merely codified, so to speak, in the Magna Carta, one of them being that the taxes laid upon them would be by their elected representatives. Another was that a man, if he had violated something or was fined, or as they called it, immersed by a superior or by a judge, that it could not take his weapons of self-defense. The fine could not eat into his weapons of self-defense or his tools of earning a living. And so however, whatever monetary amount or property they could take, they could not take his means of earning a living or his weapons of self-defense. And I think it will be good, as we were discussing earlier, the Magna Carta has many principles that are of current benefit for people to search out and to know, even in our own day. It was the pillar in writing that laid the foundation for the rule of law, demonstrating that even those in power who have been elected to office, those who, whether it's a monarch or a president or a governor or a congressman or a county councilman, that there are laws that bind them as well as their constituents. And, of course, our founding fathers set in place the check and balance within the judiciary, the legislative, and the executive branches that was to serve sort of the front line barrier against laws that were contrary to those self-evident rights. And I want to go touch on that for just a moment, as in the Declaration of Independence, and it says, holding these truths to be self-evident, yes, some of these things were recorded and reaffirmed in the Magna Carta. But these are self-evident truths. We had to put it down in writing because there are people who try to ignore it when they come to power. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, created, and are endowed by their Creator, God, with certain unalienable rights, among which, in other words, not limited to, this is not the fullest definition, but among which are these three essentials: life, liberty, and property. Well, it's defined as the pursuit of happiness, but when you look at all the ratifying documents of the Declaration of Independence from the individual states, the phrases they used refer to the acquisition and protection of property and of your name and your a good name and your character and reputation. That's how they understood pursuit of happiness. It was that a man could be secure in the ownership, acquisition, and enjoyment of his own property. And so the Magna Carta is acknowledged throughout the world and in all of history to have been a foundation stone of our own Declaration of Independence and even our Bill of Rights. When you look at our Bill of Rights, it's not just 10 different rights. When you look at it, some of the amendments embody more than one individual right. And frankly, 9 out of the 26 provisions in our Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to our Constitution, have their roots directly in the Magna Carta.
Karis, I have a question for
yes,
you.
Yes.
From your study of history, what have peoples in the past done when these rights have been threatened or trampled under? What has been their response?
What has been their response? Well, I just recently read that quote from Thomas Jefferson, that is the most drastic step necessary. He said it becomes necessary for the tree of liberty to be, watered with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Now, the barons, they pleaded their cause. They sought a redress of grievances to no avail, so they took up arms against King John and forced his hand to that Magna Carta. Then in 1628, again, under James I, he had driven the dissenters out of England, and there were other oppressions under his rule. Edward Coke, in Parliament, reasserted the rights declared in the Magna Carta with what was called the 1628 Petition of Rights. Then you had, once again, the Civil Wars of England in 1640 and 50s were for the preservation of the rights of Englishmen. Then,
can I put you on the spot, Karis?
Yes.
Can you give us, ultimately, these rights come from God. They come from the Bible.
Yes.
Is there one verse in particular that you lean to show us that in fact, is truth?
it's not an individual verse, but there are many verses. When you look at in a Strong's Concordance, for example, you take the word that's translated calls or right. The Lord maintain our cause. In the prayer of Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7:14, where he said that the Lord, he sought the Lord to maintain our, well, that was in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And when you read all of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you see that the Lord is answering Solomon's prayer and petition in chapter 6. And point for point, you can go down parallel chapter 6 and chapter 7. And in there, he says, maintain our cause. And the Lord said he would maintain their cause. That word for cause, when you look it up in the Strong's Hebrew dictionary, it means everything that's embodied in what is right, from the rights of the individual to a right verdict, to equity, to sound judgment, to the decision that's handed down from the bench. That a full, pure, right justice is embodied in that term cause, including the matter of individual rights. And these are not rights that we have merely because we see fit to demand them to make our lives more comfortable. It's because that we are created in the image of God. Thus we are endowed by the Creator. And then in the book of Luke, it is most magnificent there in Zacharias' wonderful exhortation after John the Baptist was named, and he's speaking about the things that God has done by the birth of this child, John the Baptist, and the coming of the Christ. And he speaks of that we might serve him in righteousness and holiness without fear. And it's speaking about the effect of the coming of Christ upon the governments of the earth.
Yes.
And it's a wonderful verse.
Lots of references there, Karis. We are, unfortunately, out of time.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be with you today, and may God bless you to raise the standard.
Thank you, Karis. And we'll be back. Our next segment, we're going to be featuring our veteran segment. And we will have as a guest in studio Nancy Becker, who is the Recorder of Deeds of Montgomery County.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to
Welcome
me.
Welcome back. I'm Michael Rapp, and we are raising the standard. We are in studio now with Nancy Becker. Nancy is the Recorder of Deeds for Montgomery County, and she's going to enlighten us on the veterans' benefits that are available, not through the federal government, but on the local level. There's a program that Nancy has been spearheading. So, Nancy, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be back on WFYL. And to talk about what we do here in Montgomery County, a little known fact is that the Recorder of Deeds, in addition to recording all of the land documents for the county, we are also charged with recording the veterans' discharges. And when I first became the recorder, I would try to make the veterans aware of it, because what happens is when they got their DD-214 way back when or just recently, there is a little note that tells them that they should record it in their local county's Recorder of Deeds office. But unfortunately, not everybody reads everything. So I used to go around to the VFWs, the American Legions, the groups from the Vietnam vets, the Marines, and talk to them. And I had, you know, I told them how important it was to come in to record it. And my message was, it's important to record your DD-214 in the Recorder of Deeds office, because when you die, the funeral director usually contacts our office first to find out if there is one on file so that they can arrange for a military funeral, which the veteran so deserves, and any benefits that might be available to them. So back in 2011, my grandson was in Afghanistan. He was in the Air Force. And when he went over, I said, what can I send you, Sean? What can I do for you? And he said, Mama, I'm in the Air Force. I don't need anything. Mm-hmm. Well, after he was there for a while and he decided to stay, extend his tour a little bit, he contacted me to let me know he was staying so I wouldn't be worried. And he said, Mom, there is something you can do for me. Do something for the veterans at home. So that was back in 2011. And In 2012, we came up with this program where when the veteran records his his or her DD-214, we give them a photo ID, a county identification with their picture on it showing that they did serve. And we had, from 2011 to 2012, actually recruited a number of businesses to give them an incentive or some sort of a discount to use their business. So it's a win-win situation. It's a win situation for the veteran, some of whom never were able to get a photo ID, and also for the business, because we advertise the business. Every veteran who comes in, we give them the list. I'm proud to say Brandywine Flags is on our list, so thank you very much. We also know that as we grow this list, when we started out, we had a couple hundred. Now we have nearly 400, that it's growing. So we capture their email, and periodically we send an update. So it's really a good situation for the business, for free advertising, but most of all to show the businesses really do want to show our veterans that they appreciate their service.
Well, Karis, this is local to Montgomery County and to your office. Even though Brandywine Flags obviously is in Chester County, how do we expand that to include other recorders of deeds offices in other counties and make this a regional or even a statewide program as opposed to just something that's so local? I'm assuming that we have two categories of businesses. One would be the local business and the other would be the national. Mm-hmm. So that if you have an ID card and you go to a Home Depot, you would be afforded the discount. But, I mean, Home Depots are all over the country, so that doesn't matter where you live, you'd be able to use that. So how do we expand this through the other recorders of deeds offices?
Well, thank you for asking. Actually, I was honored twice nationally for the program. Once by a national organization of recorders. And through that award, it became known to not only other counties here in Pennsylvania, but all over the country. Chester County does it, so you can contact Rick Lockery from Chester County. Bucks County does it. A number of the surrounding counties are now doing it. And every recorder who does it, you know, they're like, do I have the staff? Can I do it? Is it, you know, they all say it's the most rewarding part of their day when the veteran comes in and they have the opportunity to shake their hand. Just recently, Harvard recognized it as a bright idea. And so I've been getting calls from all over the United States asking about the program, how they can set it up, you know, what's the cost. You know, every government is really, you know, they're tightening their purse strings because they have to. And, you know, through amazing benefactors, you know, the American Heritage Credit Union every year gives us some funding. Republic Bank just gave us some funding. So it's not taxpayers' dollars that's going to pay for the cards or the camera or anything else. It is, you know, privately funded.
Oh, so it's privately funded by other businesses and so forth in the area?
That's correct.
Oh, that's great. And then no tax funds are used. So
no.
That's good.
And since the veteran still has to come in to record their DD-214, it takes just a few extra minutes to actually produce the card. And you know, it's been a morale builder in our office. You know, people come in and they see these veterans. Some of them hear their stories and they have the opportunity to shake the veteran's hand. To me, it's very beneficial because I get hugs every day. And hugs are good. And so I'm very proud to be able to do it and just delighted you know, would like to see it throughout the entire United States. But I bet now that there's probably close to 200 counties throughout the country that are doing it.
So as a result of that, you're using the facility of the Recorders of Deeds office to do that, and others can do the same because they have the equipment that they can do the photo IDs and do the cards, so we could have it as a separate funding effort. Now, as far as the listing, you say that you have 400 in your local office, but are we able to share those with all of the other Recorders of Deeds offices across the state and the country? I mean, can we do this through the internet? Can we do this online so that it's not like a paper listing? So here you have a veteran, or we contact the VFWs, and the VFWs would then contact all the other locations and what have you, and encourage men and women that are veterans to come into their local Recorder of Deeds office. And then from there, we would be able to just exponentially expand this to include so many businesses.
Right. Well, since so many of us in this southeastern region, well, for Berks County, actually their sheriff takes pictures anyhow for the gun permits, so, and they're right next door to the recorder's office. So through a joint effort of the recorder and the sheriff, they produce the pictures for Berks County. We have found that no matter what county, if it's a county-produced photo ID, the businesses will accept it. So many businesses in Berks County will accept a Montgomery County photo ID or in Bucks County. The Bucks County recorder, Joe Safran, has done an amazing job, and he has he actually takes his show on the road, so to speak, and goes through all the different areas of Bucks County to produce the pictures or the photo ID for the veterans. Unfortunately, we in Montgomery County don't have as great support to be able to do that, but, you know, maybe someday.
Is there an organization that spearheads this effort, or this is kind of on an individual basis? You're doing what you can locally, and then each of the other recorders of deeds will do it in their area. But is there any kind of a cohesive organization or organized effort to bring this together, to have it go to a larger venue?
Well, every recorder of deeds will have to make the decision whether or not they want to do it or not. For the last few years, when we go to our statewide conference, I talk about it, and you know, more and more people are buying into it or figuring out how to do it.
That's great. So you're basically spearheading this whole thing on your own. It'd be great if we could get others involved. I mean, it's just it's fabulous, because I've always said we speak on the flag to a number of groups and a lot of veterans, and I always make the statement that we do not have a better country because of our veterans. It's because of our veterans that we have a country.
Mm-hmm.
And we cannot say thank you in a big enough way or often enough. And this is something that
any way that we can reward our veterans or thank them or recognize them is a good thing, because, as we all know, the government isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is no surprise. But I think this is a great program to, again, assist and recognize our veterans. That's wonderful.
How many participants do you have in the program? How many cards have you issued?
We've issued almost 5,000 cards.
Wow.
But there's 55,000 veterans in Montgomery County, so I only have 50,000 more to get.
Okay, so how do we reach those 50 is the key?
I guess through programs like this. I'm available to speak to any VFW, American Legion, any veterans group. I will go out and talk to them about it. We do sometimes do mailings also.
Wonderful. If there's anyone listening that would like to participate, whether to sign up or to volunteer or to offer their businesses as a as one that would participate in this, how do they contact you? Is there a special number or a website, or how do they make themselves known to you?
Okay. Well, the veterans can come in. We're located at 1 Montgomery Plaza in Norristown. And since Norristown is an interesting place to park, we have free parking for our veterans under our building. So they can access it through either Penn Street or Cherry Street.
Oh, that's great.
And our website is www.montcopa.org/ROD. And all the information is on there. The veterans flyer is on there, and also the contract for the businesses.
Great. I think what we'll do is we'll put all this information on the WFYL website, so that anyone that wants to contact you can have the correct information. And I look forward to having you back again to give us an update on this. And if there's anything that we can do locally here, let us know, because we need to say thank you in all the ways we possibly can to our veteran community.
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming in. Thank you. We'll be back in a minute with our next segment. We're going to be discussing the events of the world and what is happening in the Christian community of the world today. What can we do to help to stand up against that?
Came to me, Son of Man, speak to your countrymen and say to them, when I bring the sword against a land, and the people of the land choose one of their men and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming against the land and blows the trumpet to warn the people, then if anyone hears the trumpet but does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes his life, his blood will be on his own head. Since he heard the sound of the trumpet but did not take warning, his blood will be on his own head. If he had taken warning, he would have saved himself. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes the life of one of them, that man will be taken away because of his sin, but I will hold the watchman accountable for his blood. That's Ezekiel 33:1-6.
The world is in turmoil, and we are the watchmen, and we will be held accountable. The things that are happening in the world today are unconscionable, and there are so few people that are paying attention. The watchman is speaking. The sword is coming. And, Gene, with the things that are happening today...
Yesterday, I heard, over the last couple of days, I've heard about the women and the villages that are being overtaken by ISIS, and the Christian women are being captured, and the men are being beheaded and shot and killed and whatever. Tortured. It just broke my heart. And I yesterday on Hannity, he had a woman. There were a couple of people that he was talking to who are over there in Iraq right now, and she was telling how these girls and their babies, they're from 1 to 9, if they're captured and sold as slaves, they get the a premium price because they are considered by ISIS to be more pure. For what, I have no idea, but, well, I guess I do, but we don't want to think about it. The other women, as they get older, they're worth less and less as sex slaves. And she was just crying out, saying that we're being massacred over here and nobody's doing anything. Why won't the world help us? Why won't the world come and help us and save us from these animals? And it just, the whole thing just disgusted me because... we are Christians over here, and we are seeing Christians slaughtered in other parts of the world, and it seems like America isn't doing anything. And I just don't understand why not. How do we sit by and watch this, and these are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and nothing is being done? And the administration apparently doesn't seem to think this is very important. Some of the other things that are going on over there are the ISIS has... destroying all kinds of artifacts that are thousands of years old, and they're just in museums, smashing them and hitting them with hammers and rifles and whatever, and just destroying all this beautiful antiquity. And again, nobody's doing anything, and I don't understand why. But I think that as Christians, what we should be doing is, I think we have to speak to our pastors and ask them to please bring this up in their sermons on Sundays. And also, we have to, as I keep saying, you have to contact your representatives, your senators, your state representatives, your federal representatives, and get them to stand up to the administration and get something done. This is just absolutely, it just boggles the mind. And we've heard of all kinds of atrocities throughout time with the Holocaust. Well, this is a Christian Holocaust, and our beautiful brothers and sisters are being murdered and sold as sex slaves, and it's just disgusting. The ISIS, they being Muslim, they believe that anything that they capture in war is free for the taking for them, and that they can take these women and children and whatever and do what they want to with them, that that's permissible by Allah, which I don't understand, but that's what they think.
You know, Jean, I just wanted to comment that in the past, when people have flooded the phone lines and the fax lines and emails to their elected representatives, they get attention. And that's what we need to be doing right now, because if we're not salt and light, and if we're not preservatives in this world, and if we don't call injustice for what it is, Christian and non-Christian alike, which this country has a habit of doing, for taking up the plight of those who are, you know, being abused and being oppressed. And certainly in this case, in America, this being a nation that has a Christian foundation, it should start here.
Yes, and we will be held accountable for not standing up for Israel, and we will be held accountable for not defending these Christians. Mark my words, we will be held accountable. We are responsible to help our brothers and sisters, and we are doing nothing. As you're saying, that with people calling and so forth, if you remember several years ago, I think I mentioned this last week, that when they had during the Bush administration, the comprehensive immigration laws that they were going to pass, and everybody, the talk show hosts were telling everybody to call your representatives, call your senators, call whoever, and we were able to stop that because it was so bad that the they couldn't keep up with the faxes and the emails, and some of them were taking their phones off the hook, but we were able to stop that, and we can make them do something about this if we just stand up and call people, fax them, email them, whatever you have to do. It's just really, really important. Another thing that I wanted to bring up was the insanity of the administration. John Kerry made a statement yesterday, which I think you're going to find fascinating.
Our citizens, our world today is actually, despite ISIL, despite the visible killings that you see and how horrific they are, we are actually living in a period of less daily threat to Americans and to people in the world than normally, less deaths, less violent deaths today than through the last century.
What's wrong with this man? What's he talking about?
Is there anybody out there that actually believes what that man just said, really?
Not me.
It's beyond the pale.
How do you spell delusion?
The truth is, there
John
are,
Kerry.
Kerry, yeah, really. And there's a couple of others that belong right alongside of him. But the truth is that more terror attacks and deaths have occurred in 2014 than in the last 45 years.
Actually, this past Thursday, was the 22nd anniversary of the first bombing of the Twin Towers in 1993. So we've been through a lot since then, but nothing like we see today.
And there's no reason for us to be sitting around and not helping the Christians over in Iraq and throughout the Middle East. They're being persecuted because the Peshmerga and the Kurds are willing and able to fight ISIS. If they could only get more weapons and more sophisticated weapons and more ammunition, they would be able to take care of this and to protect their people and the Christians as well.
The thing is, it's coming here. It's not just happening there. If you look back after 9/11 of 2001, Osama bin Laden was actually criticized by some in the Muslim community for not providing three warnings as part of their culture. If you're going to attack an enemy, you must first warn them three times before you actually launch the attack. And he did not do that. The Twin Towers came down without having been forewarned three times. Well, right now, what's happening in the news, what's happening in the what they're saying is just propaganda videos or propaganda statements by ISIS that they're going to be taking out parts of the malls and what have you. We have the Mall of America where there's a threat, and we're just passing that off as being nothing. Well, is that the first warning? Is that the second warning? Is that the third warning? It's here. The terrorists are in this country, and they're just waiting for the word. The sleeper cells are here, and they're just waiting to be unleashed. And when it happens, what we see happening in Iraq today with the Christian community, with the beheadings, with the burnings of people, and just mass graves,
and the females being gathered for sex slaves, it's going to be your children, your grandchildren, your neighbor's children, your children from your church. So please wake up, people.
We're going to be judged by what we do.
Or don't do.
What we don't do, I think, is going to be a harsher judgment than by what we do. So we must act. We must listen to that watchman and be aware, because it is happening here. This is a caliphate in the making. Mm-hmm. This is a jihad. Right. This is a religious war. This is beyond the pale of anything that we have seen in recent times.
This is going to make the Second World War in Korea and Vietnam look like a day at the beach compared to what's going to happen today if we don't wake up.
We'll be back with our next segment. We're going to continue this discussion.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard, WFYL's new program. I'm here, Kim Kennedy, here with Michael and Gene Rapp. And if you want to contact us with any comments or questions about today's program, please do so at info@1180wfyl.com. Gene?
But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. 2 Timothy 3:2-5.
Anything sound familiar here?
Yeah, it sounds like what's happening today, doesn't it?
I think down to the T.
You know, guys, we talked about in the last segment what is being talked about here by other voices, but in Atlantic Monthly, in the current issue, in an article, what ISIS really wants, they say themselves, this is their own words. Let me read, starting at, nonetheless, the caliphate has continued to embrace slavery and crucifixion without apology. We will conquer your Rome, break your crosses, and enslave your women, Adani, the spokesman says, promised in one of his periodic Valentines to the West. If we do not reach that time, then our children and grandchildren will reach it, and they will sell your sons as slaves at the slave market.
Well, that kind of says it, doesn't it?
In an earlier program, we had mentioned that ISIS has stated that they want to fly the flag, that they will fly the flag over the White House, the flag of ISIS. So we know exactly what they want to do.
They're warning us.
Right. And again, as we said in the last segment, they have to warn us three times before they actually launch their attack. So is this another warning? Are we closer than we think? And the thing is that we're not paying attention. This is a war. This is a holy war, a jihad that has been launched by ISIS. Several years ago, there was a DVD that came out that was called Farewell Israel. It's available today on Amazon. It's a 3-hour history course, if you will, on the Muslim culture. And it's very, very informative as to where did it all come from. We're going back in the DVD to the Ottoman Empire 600 years ago when the Muslim community controlled all of the Middle East, all of Europe, Northern Africa, and how it has been shrinking over the course of time. And the objective is to regain that time and to go back to the Ottoman Empire days. And we now have the jihad that is being launched because they feel that this is their big effort. This is their big opportunity to return to where they were. And there are just so many things that we look at today that points to that they are going to succeed unless we stand up and act.
Anytime the Muslims lose something, as in territory or something like that, they are honor-bound to get it back. And they have such patience. They don't care if it takes them 100 years. They will not give up. They must get it back. And this is one of the things that they're trying to do, is to reestablish the caliphate that was the Ottoman Empire.
Also, in their culture, it is very appropriate to lie to an infidel, to a non-believer, so that you really can't negotiate with them. You can't really trust what they're saying to a non-believer, to an infidel, because this is now part of their culture that lying is appropriate.
And another thing, some of the other things that we learned about their culture, just as an aside, if they have someone in their home, they are responsible for that person, to keep that person safe, to feed them and so forth and so on. In fact, recently, Marcus Luttrell, remember
Lone Survivor, Marcus Luttrell. It was a SEAL team of four SEALs, and three of them were killed. Marcus actually survived. He was taken into the home of a Muslim, and this Muslim was sympathetic to Marcus, and now this particular individual was responsible for him and protected him and was responsible
One of the reasons that Marcus was actually able to survive and get back home. And now this man, they've been trying for years, and it's been several years, many years actually, to get this man to America for his own protection. And the government hasn't done anything. In fact, about, I think, within the last 6 months, he was finally moved to another country, where it's an undisclosed location. He and his family were moved there for his safety because he was being threatened. And also that Pakistani doctor that helped us get bin Laden is rotting in a Pakistani prison. And again, America is doing nothing to help him. And he was the one that actually was responsible for proving that the person that was there was Osama bin Laden, so that the administration was able to get Osama bin Laden, of course, with the help of the SEALs.
And here it was actually published that there was a reward that would be offered to anyone that would help in the capture of Osama bin Laden. Here's a man that did help. So we're looking at we're fighting the extremists. We're not fighting the Muslim community. We're fighting the extremists. So now we have someone that steps up in the Muslim community to help us. And what do? We abandon him. We allow this doctor to just be taken captive, and he's now in a Pakistani prison because he did what we asked him to do. So instead of getting the $1 million reward, he got a life sentence of hard labor.
Our government is doing nothing to help these people. And it's a disgrace. We are not fighting. We have someone waging war against us, but we haven't waged war against them. And this is why we're left where we are today.
As stated by Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. There are just so many that are doing nothing. And these are good men, good women, and we are doing nothing.
Folks, take a listen to this video, I should say audio, from Catholic Online, December 2014.
The Islamic State has murdered 150 women simply because they refused to marry or perform sexual acts with ISIS. The Iraqi ministry stated that at least 150 females, including pregnant women, were executed in Fallujah by a militant named Abu Anas al-Libi after they refused to accept jihad marriage. Many families were also forced to migrate from the province's northern town of Al-Wafa after hundreds of residents received death threats.
Gene and Michael, once again, we see that
from their own words.
In their own words, it does take your breath away. But this is a war of conquest. This is not a religion of peace based on their actions and based on their own words.
They're telling us exactly what they're going to do and what they want to do.
And they're doing it.
And they're doing it, yes, and they're doing it.
What is our recourse? What can we do?
Please pray for our country. Pray for our Marines and soldiers over there fighting. Pray for the Christians over in Iraq and all throughout the Middle East who are being persecuted. Pray for God's protection over them, that his angels would hover over these people and help them and protect them. And also pray for the Christians over there that have been displaced. A lot of them have had to leave their villages and flee to other areas. And then the ones that are left behind are the ones that are being killed or raped or whatever. And but please keep these people in your prayers. And prayers are a powerful, powerful thing. And any good Christian knows that. So please pray for these people and pray for the whole world in general.
We also have to pray that the people in this country will become aware of this. Because if we remain silent and we do nothing, it's coming here. It's going to be on our streets in our towns. Because there are sleeper cells here that are waiting for the authorization to act. If we deny this and go into denial, is a very, very powerful emotion, and we are in denial. I don't understand why our politicians don't get this. We see it every day. They see it every day. They get briefings on this every day, and they're ignoring it.
They act like it's not happening, like everything is business as usual, and I don't know how they do that, but that seems to be what's happening today, that people just aren't paying any attention and don't think that this is any real problem.
And it shows me, Gene and Michael, that we just need to continually talk about this consistently online, in person, and bring this to people's attention so they, in turn, like you said, will continue to contact their elected officials.
And again, as I said, please try to work through your pastors and get them to talk about this. We're Christians, and Christians go to church, and that's a great place to make Christians aware of what's happening. And that's really, really important.
Gene and Michael, I think that there may be some people listening who feel overwhelmed. When you look at it through human eyes, it is really a situation that is, you know, just beyond words. Gene, you shared some excellent verses earlier, and I'd like to share Zechariah 14:4 because it speaks to the fact that we already know who wins this war. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. Zechariah 14:4 says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south." And so on that note, I don't think anything more needs to be said on the subject, folks. Please please act on this information and pray and speak on behalf of these folks. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, I'm Michael Rapp.
And I'm Gene Rapp.
And we own Brandywine Flags. We offer all types of flags, U.S. flags, military, state flags, international, college, decorative flags, windsocks, flag poles, both mounted on the side of your house or vertical in-ground poles for your residence, commercial poles. We do repairs, all kinds of accessories. We are located at 63 Marchwood Road in Exton in the Marchwood Shopping Center. Our phone number is 484-879-4910 or visit us on the web at www.brandywineflags.com.